years, which would be pretty crazy. So that's, as Carrie says, the best 10 years of her life. So that's 10 of those, yeah, that's right. 25 years, it doesn't seem, we dated 3.5 years after. That's crazy that you know somebody for that long. And I know some people are a little older than us. That's the same thing. It's just crazy to think about that, but 25 years. So one of the thoughts we had is that we're gonna try to do a trip. I don't know if we will or able to or not after paying taxes last week. We got nailed pretty good. One of the things we were thinking about is going on a cruise, either maybe to Alaska or Hawaii or who knows. But anyways, it's fun to think about that. So I was going to ask you, how many of you have ever been to Alaska? Anybody who's been? That's a lot. Really? Wow. Okay, now how many of you have read about Alaska? All right. Now, is there a difference between reading about Alaska and being in Alaska? There's a difference, isn't there? Right? When you experience something like that, there's a big difference with that. I want to run with that idea a little bit. You know, you've seen baseball games on TV. Maybe some of you don't like baseball. I like watching baseball. And sometimes you watch the World Series, and that's pretty exciting when you watch it. But it's nothing like being there during the game. In 1987, my buddy and I went to the first game of the World Series when the Twins played the St. Louis Cardinals. It was a fantastic game. We sat out in outfield. There was a home run hit right in front of us. And the crowd was so unbelievably loud. I had to clap. I tried to put my arms over my ears and clap like this. I looked kind of funny. But it was so loud and so fast. It was just unbelievable. But you could see it on TV, but you don't really know it until you experience it. I had a friend, actually my pastor growing up, Jim Allard, and his son Jeremy just came back from Israel, for instance. Now, how many have been to Israel? Anybody been to Israel? You've been to Israel, okay. You've been to Israel as well. Very good. So they just came back from Israel, but when they were there, Jeremy was posting pictures from where they were, you know, traveling. And one morning he said, sunrise over Sea of Galilee. And it was just so beautiful that this place where Jesus actually taught, and they were there experiencing that. Now, you can read all about it. You can study Old Testament histories about Israel, but it's not the same unless you go and experience that. The same is true with life experiences. Another pastor friend of mine that's pastored for probably 30, almost 40 years maybe, and he was telling me when his son passed away of a brain tumor. His son was 40 years old. He goes, Aaron, you know, I've helped people go through a lot of problems. I've helped people go through a lot of tragic situations. I've been in rooms where people have died, and I thought that I was very well prepared for anything, but I couldn't believe when my son passed away how hard that was. After all those experiences, until I experienced it, it isn't quite the same. So there's a difference between reading about something or hearing about somebody else experiencing something than when you are experiencing something in life. And the same is true about God. You can read the Bible. You can memorize the Bible and know lots of facts about who Jesus is. But until you experience him alive in your life, you're really not experiencing him. I think of even demons know who God is, but there's a difference between demons and those that follow. Demons keep God at a distance, but his followers experience him in his life. That's why I want to begin this series that we're going to be looking at the next few weeks about what it means to experience God in our life. Not just to read about him, not just to think about him, but that he's actually very present in our daily life and that he reveals himself through the different situations that we find ourselves in, that we can actually know that God is there and experience him. It's going to be quite a journey these next 7 weeks as we look at the life of Moses a little bit and some of the other characters of faith in the Bible, and as the Bible teaches us how people experience the real life presence of God in their life. And I want to use this as we prepare ourselves these next few weeks to start praying about what God has in store for us as a church. We're going to take 40 days, actually 42 days, and we're going to start praying about God's direction for our life as a church family. We've been thinking about a great goal for our church. We call it a BHAG, a big, hairy, or holy, audacious God goal. Some businesses say big, hairy, audacious goal, but we call it a big, holy, audacious God goal. One of the thoughts that we've been thinking about is as we were reflecting a little bit on Crossroads College, what would happen if we purchased Crossroads College and turned that into a place for affordable living and then move our church out there and create a space for us to have a permanent place to do our mission from? There's three really goals that we were thinking about. The first is to provide affordable housing to the least of these in our community. The second is to be a place that we can be a blessing to the community, that campus can be used to be a benefit to those in our community. It could be weddings out there because it's such a 38 acres of woods and ponds and beautiful scenery. It could be that we provide seminars or something like that, but we want to be a blessing to our community so that we would use that space. And then the third, and really the last reason, is to kind of have a permanent home for our church family. We've been thinking about it and playing with the numbers, and Jeff and I have done enough research on it that it's very, very possible that this could come within our means if with some great big stretches. But it's time for us to think about it and pray about it as a congregation. I want you to be a part of the thought process as well. And the key is that we spend time asking God where he wants us to be. It might be that that's not even it. He might want us to buy a Sissy Heights for $60 million. Who knows? Or he might just want us to stay here and do the work that we want to do on this side of town as well. But I want us to use this as a spiritual growth campaign for all of us together to seek the Lord together. In your worship program, there's a day or a little sheet that I put together, just 40 days of prayer. And I listed the days, so you can remember that. I also put a chapter of the Bible. What I'm challenging you to do is read one chapter. That's it. It'll take you a few minutes to read that one chapter. And I've chosen Matthew 28 and then the book of Acts and then some Ephesians and 1 John. It gives you kind of a variety of things to think about there. But you read that one chapter, and then you simply pause and ask God to show you something from that chapter that moves you. Or just ask God, you know, what does he want to do in our church? What I want to do in my life, but what do you want us to do in our church family? And then if you can get a little notebook or a binder book or whatever it might be, and then jot down your thoughts. Write the date that you're praying and maybe the passage there, any verse that really sticks out to you. I always like to write a verse down. I have a little three-ring binder. When I do my Bible reading, I always write verses down, and I kind of keep track of my own kind of topical index with different topics and so on and so forth. But it helps to remember that when you write it down. And just spend the 10, 15 minutes thinking quietly and just seeing what God says to you. And jot down anything. Jot down. It could be something crazy because we can always discern that. But just spend time asking God. On the back, I kind of give you some instructions on what to do and kind of how to go about doing that. But you can choose your own style and system as well. The key is that we spend time seeking God. This whole church started when I spent time seeking God for 40 days. And he showed what he wanted to build. And we're still here 7.5 years later and still making an impact in our community because of that. And so we want to return to that and just see what God wants us to do. You can also follow along with a book if you want. This is called Experiencing God. So the seven realities that I'll show you in a little bit here come out of this book. This is an excellent book by Henry Blackaby. It's an older, it's probably 15, 20 years old. But this book has changed a lot of churches when they've gone through it as a study. There's 13 or 14 weeks of material here. We're not going to do that, but I'm going to summarize seven of the biblical principles that come out of here. And if you want to follow along and read through this, I highly, highly recommend. This is one of the, what I say, must reads in the Christian life. There's C.S. Lewis books, Mere Christianity. This is one of those books that I think is a must read. Another book is by Neil Anderson, Victory Over the Darkness. There's number of books out there that you must read. This is a must read for a book for your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. And if you want to, you can pick these up for $10. There's plenty of them out in the hallway there in the book table. And just read along, and I think it will really challenge you to seek God. And the whole premise of this is that God is always around us and that we want to kind of find out where he's working and join him and be a part of that. And then he reveals himself to us. The seven realities that we'll be looking at these next few weeks are this. Today we're going to talk about that God is always at work around you. The second reality is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. He's always at work, but he's also at work in your life, and he loves you, and he wants a really intimate personal relationship with you. Third, then God invites you to become involved with him in his work. Fourth, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and prayer and circumstances and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. Number five, God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Sometimes he might put on you something that you don't think that you can handle yourself, but you have to step out in faith and trust him and believe in him, and all of a sudden he shows up when it is accomplished, and then you say, yay, God. You must make major adjustments in your life, number six, to join God in what he is doing. And the last reality is that you come to know God by experience as you obey him and as you accomplish his work through you. Now, we'll talk about each of those and expand on those each week, these next few weeks. We want to see what God has in store for his church and his people through Bear Creek. And I'm excited about it, and I think hopefully you'll get excited about it as well and participate with it. Do the best that you can. If you can't do 40, do 30. If you can't do 30, do 10. Just do something and pray and ask God to show you and to change your life first and foremost these next few weeks. So I want to focus in on reality quickly, reality number one today, which is this, that God is always at work around us, always working. He's not, some of the early church fathers were deists. Deists believe that God created the world, but kind of like a watchmaker, he kind of winds it up and then takes his hands off and then he backs away and lets the world unfold by itself. Very much a distant God. He was a creator God, and they respected the creator God, but he was not a personal God, and he's not involved in anybody's life any longer. But that's not what we see in the Bible. We see a God that's really, really wants to be involved in your life, and he's always at work in his world to draw the world towards a goal. God is at work. How is he at work? First thing is that God has a plan for all of creation. From the very beginning, he's had a plan. One of Carrie's favorite TV shows right now is A Man with a Plan, and it's a pretty funny show. It's starring Matt LeBlanc, who was in Friends. He was Joey in Friends, and it's a really kind of a, it's pretty, when I hear Carrie chuckling in the living room, it's got to be pretty good. A Man with a Plan. But God has a plan for all of creation. In Colossians 1, verse 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul writes about it. He says, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ. And through him," here's the plan, "to reconcile to himself all things, to bring things all back together again, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Everything has been affected by the downfall of man, by sin. That's why we get bad weather. That's why we have diseases. That's why bad things happen in the world. It's a result of a fallen world. But Jesus, God sent Jesus to come to restore that broken world, to reconcile a bust-up place that we live in. That's his plan. And it starts from the very beginning of the Bible. We see God's creation in Genesis 1 and 2, the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, and then God's plan is unfolded through those next 1,000 years that the Bible is written. That's what's unfolding now, even in our own life today. We are a part of that. But God has a plan in life. The second thing is this, that God is continually working to unfold that plan. Jesus himself said in John 5, verse 17, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Even today, God is unfolding the plan around you, at your work, through your neighbors, in your city, even in the nation. The key is that we need to take time to slow down to observe where he is working at. And how do we know that he's working? Well, anytime that a person thinks something spiritually or asks something spiritual, we know that God's working in their life. Jesus said something very interesting. He says in John 6, verse 44, this isn't in your notes, so jot this down because I forgot to include it in your notes. John 6, verse 44, he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." So, for example, how do we know that God's working? Well, when somebody comes up to you out of the blue and says, "You know, I've been thinking about going to church. Where should I go?" God's working in that person's life. And so, therefore, you need to respond to that and try to help them find that, because no one can be drawn to God unless he's working in their life. And so you know that he's there working. And so you take them in, talk with them, and bring them along. That's why you're here. God's working in your life. That's why you're here. You probably didn't realize why you're here today. You probably, who knows? You probably felt good and you just came and said, "All right, I'm going to go." But God's working in your life. He wants something in your life. Now, it's our job to help you discover that and you to seek that out. But God's working. He's continually working around us. Now, the third thing is that God invites me and you to join him in carrying out those plans. Jesus said in John 5, verse 19 and 20, "Very truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, he will show him even greater things than these, so that you will be amazed." So Jesus looked to his Father to find out where he was working at and then joined his Father. You never see the Father joining Jesus in Scripture. It's always the thought that Jesus is responding and being obedient to his Father in heaven. And so the key for us then is to find out where God is working, and then he invites us to come along with him and to join him in this path, whatever that might be. It could be that a person, again, is asking you some spiritual questions. Well, we know that person's, that God's working in his life. God wants me now to come alongside this person and try to help answer those questions or get them involved in some place that they could be get those questions answered. See, that's how we can be a part of God's plan. And he invites us to be very much a part of that, and that's an exciting thing to do. It's kind of an overwhelming thing to do, to be a part of that, but it's also an exciting piece of mind. When a blind man would yell out, "Help me, help me, help me," God was working in that man's life, and so Jesus recognized that and went and healed that man because he knew that man had faith. And this is what we need to do as well. All around us are people looking and seeking and searching. And when their minds are open up to the Lord, it's our responsibility to help them and to come alongside them. And that's really exciting to be a part of. The fourth thing is when I join God at work, that I will experience him in a life-changing way. Because when we join him, and when somebody's moved, and then when they give their life to the Lord, that's pretty awesome. That means you followed through what God wanted you to do, and something amazing happened. And that's where we experience God in those amazing moments. The Old Testament people did. They trusted God. For Moses is a great example of that. Moses was called by God to lead his people, the Israelites, to freedom from Egypt. So God had a plan, see? And he wanted Moses to be a part of that plan, and so he invited him to join him. Now, Moses didn't think that he had the skills to do that. God promised to give him the skills necessary to do that. And we'll learn later on when God calls us to do things that he equips us with his Spirit to carry it out. Otherwise, he wouldn't call us to do that. And so we can have confidence that we can share our faith or that we can step out in this faith or whatever it might be. And Moses did that and led the people. He did miraculous things in order to free the people from Egypt, even crossing a Red Sea with a great miracle. Can you imagine those that experienced that? Don't you think they would experience God in a different way when they saw those amazing things happen? Now, it's not only just miracles, but it's changed lives. It's what God is doing in people's lives that's so amazing. And in a few moments, we're going to share a couple of those stories with you about God has worked in people's lives and the neat stories that are all behind that. But when I join God at work, I will experience him in a life-changing way. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 20, it says, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he committed us to the message of reconciliation as well. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You see, God has given us this message of reconciliation, so we get to be a part of that plan, and in the process of reconciliation, we can see the world slowly be putting back together once again. And therefore, that's where we experience God in those moments. When God is working in those people's lives, the early church was filled with awe because they experienced something that only God could do. Lives were changed, demons were running scared, people were healed. It's not about our personal dreams, it's always about God's purposes in our life. It's not about our passions, it's always about God is working around us. That's what's so exciting about the adventure of faith. When we live that way and start looking, instead of just looking for ourselves every day, getting up and doing our normal routine, can you imagine waking up and saying, "God, I'm going to be looking for where you're working today, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that change in life." Can you imagine the adventure of life that you would live that way? But we get so engulfed in our own selves, and we kind of live, and we miss those moments. Somebody might walk right by you that needed Jesus in your life, but you were too busy to even think about it. And so that's the goal of this, is that we open up our minds and our hearts to see what God is doing all around us, and then to be a part of that. And that's when we experience him in a deeper way. That's when we really sense him in our life. And that's when amazing things can happen as well, not only in your life, but in our church life as well. I want to give you a few examples of that. I'm going to call up Miss Brittany Wiley. Miss Brittany Wiley is coming up here. Let's hear it for Brittany Wiley. So. Testing. Is this one working?
Yep. Hello.
Testing. 1, 2. I think that works. Say hi in there.
Hi.
Yes, it's working. Good. Brittany Wiley. Brittany's going to be doing something pretty exciting here, but just let me give you a little brief background of her as well. Talk about God working. We met Brittany it's been a while ago when we kind of first started the church. 7 years ago. And so it all started with Kathy, my sister-in-law, who works in a daycare center. And Brittany's mom brought in, at that time, 3 little girls, I think, or 4.
Holy crap.
7 years ago, I think 3. 3 little girls. And Kathy had a heart for those crazy little girls, right?
Yeah.
And so really felt compassion for them and really wanted to be a part of their life. So that she invited you to camp, Kathy did. And so they were able to go up to camp and get to know the Lord about that. And then their family came to church. And it was really cool when Misty came. She didn't like church very much. And one of the things that really drew her to our church is our slogan, No Perfect People Allowed. No Perfect People Allowed. And she goes, is that real? And I said, absolutely, that's real. And she worried about what she should wear. She didn't have any nice clothes to wear. I said, doesn't matter. Come to church. That's what it's all about. And through that relationship, God opened the door. Carrie noticed that God was working in this family's, or Carrie, Kathy noticed that God was working in their life. And in a long time now, Brittany has graduated, and she's going to Mankato State. But she worked up at that camp that changed her life, and now she has an opportunity to go on a campus crusade adventure that she's going to tell you a little bit about right now. So we're proud of Brittany and what she's doing, but I love how God worked in her life. So share a little bit about what you're doing there, kiddo.
Yeah, so this past year, I graduated from Mayo High School, and now I'm attending Minnesota State University in Mankato and studying political science and history with the intention to go to law school. This past year, going to college to a new city has been very hard for me because I went from having an abundant amount of friends to, like, none. And so it was just a hard time in, like, trusting in God that he'll bring me friends in a community of people. And he did. Through a camp friend, I was able to find Campus Crusade, which is now CRU. And CRU is an interdenominational campus ministry with the plans to, or with the hopes to introduce people to Jesus. And through CRU, I was able to become a co-leader in their community event team, so I plan events for students all around campus, and I also have joined a couple of Bible studies. In the fall, I went to their fall retreat in Iowa, and during that fall retreat, they were talking about, you know, how God works in our lives for just college students, and during that fall retreat, I was introduced to summer missions, and summer missions is where you can go around all around the world and do things for CRU, and the one that and I was, like, a little hesitant about thinking about summer missions because I always knew I would go back to camp. Like, camp and kids are, like, my thing. but God had a different plan. All the leaders kept pushing me to apply and, like, Brittany, you should stretch yourself. You're awesome, and we want you to be a part of our team this summer. And so I applied just thinking, oh, maybe I won't get accepted. If I don't, I'll go to camp. but February 2nd, I got accepted, and I was like, well, I guess, Jesus, you got a different plan for me. And I sent out support letters, and here I am today. A little things. So I'll be going to North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina this summer for 10 weeks. And a little bit about North Myrtle Beach is it's a very popular beach. About 17.2 million people visited it in 2014. There's about 14 churches in the area, and there will be about 100 students from the Midwest region going. And we'll all be living a block from the beach. And during those 10 weeks, we'll have a full-time job from 9 to 5, working at local businesses with the goal to evangelize to our coworkers. And when we're not working, we're out on the beach evangelizing to people with an evangelism tool called the KGP. Know Your God. Yeah, KYP. It's an evangelism tool to show people about Jesus and, like, why he's here for you. And then when we're not evangelizing on the beach, we're planning events and just getting to know the community more. A lot of the people in North Myrtle Beach are just graduated high school students who are there to mainly party and drink. And it's going to be fun to get to know them. And also families and a lot of international people, which is where I'm more passionate about. I'm more passionate about just people of all different nations and getting to know them and just their cultures and showing them around. So yeah, and we'll be partnering up with one of the churches in their youth group. And let's see, about last year this time, when they went to North Myrtle Beach, about 2,400 people were ministered to, and about 230 accepted their life to Christ, which that statistic really helped me think that, oh, God is really going to do a difference. Let's see. I've been actually really nervous about this trip because I'm always into like helping high school students and not like evangelizing to random people, but establishing a relationship. But through this, God is going to show me how to like trust him more in bringing people to me and me to other people and just showing them what Jesus can do in your life. You know, I came from a background of drugs, drug family and everything, and it's like I turned my life around because of Jesus and who he put in my life, and I'm really excited to share that testimony with people. So two of the things that I really need from this, from like just you as a church, is one of them is the most important thing is prayer, not for me and for my teammates. For me, I just want to have an open heart towards all the people that I encounter. I want to grow outside my shell because I've been a very like a box kind of Christian. Like, this is the lines, God, let's try not to get out of there. But I I really want God to like use me in ways that I never thought he would. And just to fill me with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and just to grow in community with all my other fellow teammates. And for my teammates, I just pray that we can be Christ-like witnesses for them, and that we all get along, and that we all grow as a community, and that we learn how to share the gospel better, and that we can actually see what God is doing in Myrtle Beach. The second way you guys as a church can help is, if you feel so led, is to donate towards my trip, either, you know, writing a check, or even there's a bake sale outside that we're having today. And I have a lot more information outside if you have any questions. And I have a prayer card if you'd like to purchase one of those. But I just want to thank you guys as a church for watching me grow up in the faith and being there and, you know, just giving me a lot of encouragement, because it's definitely helped me this past year, knowing that I have a church behind me, and knowing that you guys love and care for me has really helped me go on this trip. And I just thank you for listening and taking the time to hear about my trip. So thank you.
Good job. God is working. He's always working in people's lives. And when you see that opportunity and ask someone to go to camp or ask them to come to church, you never know what happens in that person's life. And so that's why it's so important to understand that. I want to show you one very clip. This is from Timmy Fusi. Timmy's not here today, but his family's here. But Tim has a really cool story about how God worked in his family and how God orchestrates all these things around him. And so we're going to watch that. It's just a few minutes. So.
After high school, I went into the Air Force. And, you know, like many people do in the Air Force, I got involved with the party scene. I hung out with a group of guys that they were pretty hardcore. I mean, we drank a ton. We were always partying, you know. When I got out of the Air Force, I moved back to my hometown, Little Falls. I moved into an apartment with a buddy of mine. I had gotten a factory job at Crestliner. I was a welder there for a while. And he sold drugs out of our apartment, did drugs. I didn't do drugs previously, it was a very short time after that. He introduced me to that, and I kind of dove right into it. We just did it. We did it constantly. You know, I loved it. I was very much, you know, into the drug scene right after that. And, it went on like that for quite a while for me. Doing it constantly, and I ended up moving to Rochester here. I went to a technical college for a couple years, and, you know, I had continued, you know, my drug use through, you know, through college and everything. It was a crazy time, and I got really depressed. There was like a a 6 month period there where, you know, I think I was just tired, and I was, you know, the whole drug thing was getting kind of expensive, and I just got really depressed. I felt horrible, you know. I just felt empty inside, like I was just like all used up. If you would have asked me, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, do you believe in God or whatever, you know, I would have said yeah, you know. And but as far as like his plan for me, you know, like I just didn't think about it. It wasn't important to me, you know. I just wanted to have fun, and you know, that's what I thought I was doing. And you know, like I said, I just got to the point where I felt like I needed something different. I started thinking about, there was a little church called Meadow Park Church of Christ right down the street from where I lived. And one night, I thought I'm going to go there. And, you know, maybe there's going to be something there that, you know, they don't need to hear or something. I don't know. I was just in la la land, you know. I didn't know. I just felt, all I knew was I just felt horrible. And so that that Sunday morning, I got up, and I went to that church, and you know, I sat down, and I remember looking down after I got my bulletin. This guy named Aaron Wagger was giving the sermon, and I looked down at my bulletin, and here the sermon was about addictions. And I thought, wow, this might be pretty interesting. You know, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't think I think Aaron probably got like 5 minutes into the sermon, and you know, I something came over me, and I just started crying. You know, I just felt like the last few years, I just felt I was living out a lie. And I just felt immediately that I need to change. And I you know, like I said, he got just a little ways into the sermon, and I don't like letting my feelings out in front of, you know, especially in front of a group of people that I've never met before. And I immediately got really uncomfortable, and I thought, you know, there's a couple times I thought I think I might have to leave here because this is getting just too heavy for me. And right away when I thought that, there was a lady that had sat down next to me. I didn't notice her walking in or anything, but she had sat down next to me. And right as I was thinking I'm gonna leave here because, you know, like I said, this, I just thought it was too much. When she sat down next to me, there was like a, I just immediately felt like this warmth, and there was just like this blanket of comfort that came over me. It was just a really weird feeling because I just immediately, I kind of felt like I'm going to be okay. And this lady was kind of helping me, you know, as Aaron was talking, you know, like I said, I still just, I couldn't hold my feelings in. I mean, I was crying, and I mean, I was just in rare form, you know. You know, she was like giving me Kleenexes and stuff, and just kind of helping me, you know. And the strangest thing happened after that sermon. I got up, and you know, I was kind of wiping myself up and whatever. You know, I kind of gave this lady a hug, and you know, I had said thank you, you know, for helping me through the sermon, you know. And it was really weird because I had turned around to like get my sunglasses off the chair, and I turned back around and she was gone. Like it startled me because like she was, you know, standing right next to me like a foot away from me, and like I said, I just turned around and bam, she was gone. And it you know, I was like, man, I hadn't smoked anything that day, but I was like, I kind of felt like asking somebody, dude, did you see that lady or whatever? But that day I went home And, you know, I sat on my doorstep for a long time, and, you know, and I just thought, you know, there's just this huge thing that I felt, you know, all the words that Aaron had said in that sermon were just, they're weighing on me really heavily. And I decided that day that I'm done with the drugs. I went into the house and I grabbed, you know, whatever I had laying around, emptied the bags out in the garbage, and I thought I'm gonna try doing life without them. And you know, I'd like to say that, you know, I didn't do them after that, but the reality of it is I did struggle for a couple months afterwards. But you know, that sermon, the words that Aaron had said, it stuck to me. And and I did, you know, a couple months after that, I did get off the drugs. You know, it's been, you know, 15 years now I've been clean, and I feel so blessed that I was there that day. You know, there were so many key things that happened to me that day that I just feel like I was in the right place at the right time, you know, and it's you know, I'm a changed person because of what all the churches do. And, you know, you know, this thing, I think about that day a lot. I wonder if that lady wasn't like an angel, because, like, you know, I think I would have left that day if that lady hadn't sat down next to me and just comforted me. And a lot of great things happened to me after, you know, that day. And I'm so thankful for all of it. You know, none of it would have happened, I don't think, if, you know, if the Lord hadn't come into my life.
I didn't know about that story until just recently when Tim recorded himself on his phone and he showed me that. And I thought, when I served that church over there, you just never know. You never know. And that's what we mean, that God is always at work. He was working in his life. He was working on my sermon for that day, and he connected those two things together. Now tell me, isn't that experiencing God in a different way? And that's exactly what we're talking about when we do that. Always, first thing, remember that when you come to church, you never know who God is sending to you. So always be smiling. Sit down beside them and welcome them. You too might be an angel of the Lord that can encourage them. You never know that. That's what we try to instill in all. The same way when we plan out services, the same when we plan out our teaching, the same way anything. I know we can get bogged down by all week, but you never know where God is working. See? And we have to be ready for that. Because a life was at stake. A life was saved. Not because of me, but because of God. And that's the power of living life when you're looking to be a part of what God is doing around you. And that's when we'll experience God to its fullest. So I'm looking forward to these next 40 days. If you have more stories about how God worked in your life, we would be glad to share them with us. And we'll give stories about, even in our church, how God's worked behind the scenes to make things happen. That all you could say is that God did it. That God was a part of it. And that's what makes it so exciting. And so please pray, ask God to show you where he's working around you, and then join him. And let's all experience God together in a deeper way. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your plan. And even though we get out of that plan sometime, Lord, you're still working to draw people back to you. And we have the privilege of being able to join you in that adventure. And so I pray that you'll guide us as a church family, Lord, what you want us to do. Where do you want us to be? Where are you working so that as a church we can join you? Are you working out at Crossroads so that we can transform that? Are you working over here? Are you working over there? We want to know that, Lord. We honestly seek you. And it might be something that we not even thought about. But I pray that you will unify us around that so that we know for sure, and that we could step out in faith and join you and be in awe of what you can accomplish when people are obedient to you. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for life. Thank you for this adventure. I pray this in your name. Amen.